But first, Stephen Poole. Poole's the author of Trigger Happy, Video Games and the Entertainment Revolution. He talked with Anne Strangehamps about the public's perception of video games.
Most people don't think of video games as an art form, and, you know, it's a tricky subject because, I mean, the way I argue it in my book is that video games are potentially an art form, but they're not the kind of art form we're already familiar with, and that's kind of the point. And I compare it to the early history of the cinema industry, for example. When cinema came along, nobody really thought cinema was an art form because it didn't look like the art forms they were familiar with. It moved, so it wasn't like a painting, and they didn't really know what to do with it. And so all the serious critics of the day tended to dismiss cinema as a kind of mind-wasting waste of time, something that would just turn people into zombies, you know, vacuous entertainment. And of course, 70 years on, there are whole schools of film studies.
Let's talk some about some of the better-known games, and give me an example of what sort of thing you would say about some of these games, you know, if you're thinking of them as bits of culture, as art forms, rather than, you know, simply entertainment. I mean, take one of the earliest games that an awful lot of people have played, Pac-Man, which came out in the 80s.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to argue that Pac-Man by itself is a work of art. I mean, it's an interesting game in that, I mean, I have a theory that it's got a kind of political subtext, which is to do with consumerism being in the late 80s. In the, certainly the early 80s, coming out then, it's about this man who is nothing but a mouth. He exists only to eat, which you can read as an existence that's purely about consuming goods. And he has to keep moving and keep on consuming goods, or he'll get eaten up by the coasts, which you could imagine were, you know, the credit card companies coming to coming to close him down and get him locked away in prison. So, I mean, you can read things like that into video games, and I'm not sure that's totally wrong. I mean, you know, Japan in that time was just experiencing the new wave of consumerism, becoming a huge world player in its own right, and I think there are sort of subterranean worries about that sort of thing going on there. In terms of how Pac-Man looks, you know, it's certainly got its own visual style. I mean, whether or not you regard it as a work of art, there have been aesthetic decisions made there in terms of the design of the maze and the colors used and the specific animations of the ghosts that are artistic choices, even if you don't think the whole game in itself is a work of art.
What about some of the more contemporary games? Tomb Raider, the famous for the character Lara Croft.
Yeah, Tomb Raider is famous for Lara Croft and her large chest, but it was, aesthetically, it was a groundbreaking game. It was one of the very first games that invited you to explore a fully solid three-dimensional world. And there are moments in those games of almost aesthetic rapture where you come into a new environment and it's almost like you've entered a cathedral on your television screen and you gaze around in wonder and you think, wow, this is really beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk these days about media convergence. I mean, the idea that technology is erasing the boundaries between movies and video games and television, that they're all just going to come together and be one kind of mushed together art form. It sounds like you're suggesting the opposite, that video games are really going to continue to go off in their own direction.
I think media convergence has always been a bit of a myth, and it's been something that certain people in the big media industry wanted to happen because it would line their pockets with more money. But I don't think it's really what people who consume entertainment really want. I mean, you know, if you're in the mood to kind of sit back and go on an exciting roller coaster ride, you go to the cinema and you watch an action movie. If you're in the mood to experience something that gives you a, you know, psychological insight into somebody's character, you will read a novel. And if you want to do something and interact with something that's fun, then you play a video game. And I don't see those three things really merging because they speak to different moods you're in and different desires you have at different times in your life. I'm not saying that video games will overtake or supplant these other forms. I think they'll just go in their own direction and become something very unique and interesting.
You write about an interesting Japanese phenomenon associated with video games, something called Nichikon Fetchi.
Yeah, indeed, the two-dimensional fetish.
What is that?
It's normally applied to people who are real fans of manga in Japan, who tend to fall in love with Japanese comic book characters. And there's a very strange line of video games in Japan, which involves schoolgirl dating simulations. The Japanese tend to be very nostalgic about their school days and very nostalgic for a kind of innocent past. So there's a slightly worrying kind of objectification of a strange, idealized type of young womanhood in Japan. But they don't tend to export that kind of stuff because nobody else seems to be very interested.
Well, the criticism I've read is that has to do with how much the player can identify with the character he or she is playing. And, you know, Pac-Man has just this stupid little round thing with a single eye. And when you play it, the argument is you are Pac-Man, as opposed to these other games with very, very realistic characters. And when you play them, you can't really completely merge with that character because it's so realistic that it kind of stays outside of you. You know, you're more a spectator.
That is an argument that you tend to identify more easily with a more abstract kind of character of yesteryear. But I don't think that's such a problem now, partly because since Pac-Man, I think the kind of game that people really identify with is the first-person shooter game, which generally doesn't show you a character at all, because you actually view the world through the character's eyes. So your body in the virtual world is kind of invisible because you're looking straight ahead and you have that point of view. And so that's the kind of game that really convinces you you are there, and there's certainly no problem with identification there because it really sucks you in and makes you feel like you are in that world. With very detailed and realistic characters, I mean, possibly there's a sense that you don't identify with them, but on the other hand, you know, there are in the fighting games where there's a huge choice of gender and ethnic characteristics you can choose, you very often find a little white kid will choose to play as a Korean woman. And vice versa. And I think these games, because they're now more realistic, are encouraging a greater fluidity and diversity in attitudes to gender and race relations, perhaps, than they were before. Mm. And I think, you know, the fact that in those kind of fighting games, race doesn't matter and sex doesn't matter, it just matters how good you are at fighting, I think that's definitely a step forward.
Do you have any particular favorite games right now of your own?
Right now I'm playing a lot of Halo, which is a game for the Microsoft Xbox. It's a first-person shooter, but the extraordinary thing about it is that it's not just you against a horde of enemies, but it does a very good job of surrounding you with comrades. There are lots of other Marines fighting alongside you. And what I find very interesting about that is that if you're not quick enough and you're not good enough, your fellow Marines will get killed by your enemies, but you carry on alone. And, you know, 20 minutes down the road, you get into another situation where you think, God, I wish I had some of my comrades with me. And you start to feel guilty for letting them be killed 20 minutes earlier. And that kind of playing around with your emotions, I think, is something that's just starting to happen in video games and will make them much more interesting in future.
Stephen Poole is the author of Trigger Happy, Video Games and the Entertainment Revolution. He spoke with N. Strange Champs.